You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Dr. Allison Marshall.
And I'm Dr. John Langlois.
And you are listening to the special monthly Chi University episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 24. Good morning, Horse World.
Welcome to our once-a-month look at traditional Chinese veterinary medicine with the Chi University.
John. Today, we have one of my favorite people on the show with us. This is a young lady who took her Qi acupuncture course last fall. And when she heard one of my lectures, she pulled me aside and said, I work in Maryland. Can I come shadow you when you're in your Maryland practice? And I go up to Maryland once a month, and I've got 3 or 4 days up there. And so I said, sure. And she has ridden with me, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 times. And she's nothing but a delight. And it's amazing to me. It's just so fun for me to see all of her successes. She texts me these kooky texts about how, you know, is this really for real? These horses are getting so much better. And it's awesome to see even someone who hasn't been doing it but a year have so much success. So I invited her on the show for us today.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I think it's going to, you know, be a lovely thing to share with the students that are training, to know that you can have these successes very quickly after you get your training and get in there and do it and do the best you can. And the responses are in somewhat magical.
For sure. And I know we talk a lot about how to find an acupuncturist at the end of each one of our shows. And I know there's a lot of places in America and other places that people struggle with finding an equine vet. You know, there's a real shortage of equine veterinarians, let alone equine acupuncture veterinarians. But it just goes to show you that it doesn't take someone who's been doing it a long time. You know, if you've got someone in your area, then give them a shot, because it's potentially really could be a helpful thing for your horse.
Yeah, so they can go on the Qi University site and go into the resource department there, and they can find a vet. And so you can click on there and they can put in the mileage, maybe 50 miles, 100 miles, whatever. And then it also describes their training. So it's a good resource that if you want to pursue a TCVM modality in an animal that's got a problem, go there and see who can be locally able to help.
Right. And just since we're going over that website shows who's been through school. Then after the schooling, there is a certification process. So it could be that they have the training and they just haven't had the time to get certified, but it's still someone who's been through the training already, which is really great, because it takes some time to get the hours for certification. And
yep.
Then the people who do the herbals and the people who do the Tuina, and there's, so you do get a really good smattering on the website of anybody who might be close to you.
Wonderful.
So let's welcome Dr. Caitlin Harris to our podcast today. Dr. Harris owns her own practice in Denton, Maryland, Chop Tank Equine. So today we have Dr. Caitlin Harris with us, and I'm going to brag on Dr. Caitlin a little bit. She was a student at Qi not too long ago, and when she found out that I worked in Maryland, her practice is Chop Tank Equine in Denton, Maryland, Caitlin's made a lot of effort to come and shadow me quite a bit. And so it's been just really fun getting to know her, which is why I asked her to come on the podcast. Welcome, Caitlin. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you guys for having me.
I'm so excited.
Welcome.
And one of the reasons that I thought it would be really fun to have Caitlin on the podcast, we had another Caitlin on our podcast, Caitlin with a K. This is Caitlin with a C, who was also a fairly recent grad a couple years ago. And I find it so much fun to listen to Dr. Caitlin Harris's successes as a new acupuncturist. Like, she's fairly new to the profession, but she has shared with me some really fun cases, and I've had some really fun, quirky text messages from her that make me laugh quite a bit, because she's having so much fun with acupuncture, and I would just love for her to come on and talk a little bit about that. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you. So you want me to introduce myself a little bit?
Sure, please do.
My practice is, as you said, in Denton in Maryland. I bought the practice, the large animal side, out of a mixed animal practice about 2.5 years ago now. And I work on horses pretty much exclusively and occasionally a goat. And I have 2 little mini cows in my practice.
Awesome.
They're awesome. They're 2 little mini Highland cows. And I also have added an associate this year. So that's been great. We do a lot of general practice. I do a lot of repro. We breed about 150 to 175 mares a year. And most recently, I've started adding, like you had mentioned, the acupuncture as well as medical manipulation or chiropractic, and have really been having a lot of fun incorporating that into my daily practice, things that I see every day, as well as seeing things specifically for acupuncture or medical manipulation. So it's been really cool to see this aspect of medicine kind of fill some gaps that Western medicine hasn't been able to. So that's been really, really fun to add to our practice.
That's super cool. And tell everybody, when I know that you finished acupuncture a year ago, or is it 2 years ago now?
A year ago, pretty much exactly. Yep.
Yeah. And then you did the medical manipulation after that or before it? I forgot.
Prior to that. So that was my original introduction to qi. And then I really started kind of drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm also working through the herb course now. So working my way through kind of everything. I'm really hooked on the Chinese medicine aspect of things and adding more of that into my practice.
That's wonderful. And Caitlin, I wanted to share too, because I think it's been about 16 years since I started, but some of my most successful cases were in reproduction. Like I say, mares that were being bred and they come back and they're dirty or they're not cycling properly. So that's going to be, you know, ongoing for you in a really good way. So yeah. I love the medicine for repro problems.
Absolutely. I'm excited to add that to kind of our repertoire this spring for some ones that we've had some issues with. So we'll see how that puts us in a better position for those girls.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's the thing that we talk about each month we do this, is the beauty in being able to help animals where conventional medicine maybe hasn't given them all that they needed or can't give them what they want. And to be able to have that extra tool, that extra process to be able to be effective is really cool.
Absolutely.
So why don't you bring forth the case that stands out in my mind, I just have to tell everybody, is the laminitis that you treated. And the text that I got, everyone, from Dr. Caitlin was, if I remember correctly, you know what? You talk about it. I'm going to find the text because it's just so stinking cute. Talk about your case.
Yeah. So this was a 18-year-old warm blood mare that had laminitis issues. And we'd been treating her for a while for it. She has Cushing, she has metabolic issues. And I had her on phenylbutazone. I had her on Tylenol. We were doing corrective shoeing. We were doing all the things Western medicine-wise I could. I had her on Pergolide or Percend for her Cushing's, treating it every which way Western medicine that I could. And this is when I was going through my acupuncture certification. And I got to the barn, we were going to repeat x-rays, and she was standing in the middle of the stall. She kind of made herself a little hill of shavings and was standing in the shavings. And the owner was like, she has not moved since dinner last night. So it had been about 12-ish hours that she's just standing there. She will not move. And I was like, will you allow me to try some acupuncture on her? You know, I'm still learning, but I'd really love to try. So I put some needles in around her feet and some other places for pain, left them in for about 20, 25 minutes while we were working on somebody else, pulled them out. And then she decides that she feels better and starts walking around the stall and putting her head over the stall and fighting with her neighbor. So it was just, I walked in and she wouldn't move, to pulling the needles, and she's back to her grumpy self fighting with her neighbor about eating her hay. And that was the coolest one that I had. And I think what I text you, Allison, was stuff is,
I found it.
Yeah, is witchcraft.
Here's the quote. This acupuncture stuff is witchcraft. I used it on a laminitic horse this morning who, according to the owner, hasn't moved in the stall since 6 a.m. about 10 minutes. She's walking around the stall fighting with her neighbor. Like, is this real? With a question mark.
It was so cool. It just, yep. Some of it is unbelievable. And it's hard to believe sometimes how quickly it can work. Now, obviously, that didn't fix her. But clearly it made some difference in her pain that we weren't making with the Western side of things. And that was really, really cool.
Well, I'm curious, did you actually do some hemoacupuncture? Did you bleed the Jingwell points?
Wonderful. Yep, every single one I could.
Good. Super.
And, you know, it was kind of the point where we were like, are we going to have to let her go? Or are we going to have to make a different decision based on her quality of life? And it was like, well, I don't think I'm going to make her worse. So, you know, we did that. And yeah, I bled every single one I could. And she did fantastic. And she's still out there and doing well. So wonderful. I'm really
and just to share too, I had a case that was a yearling that got castrated and by another veterinarian. And it was a Saturday or a Sunday, I believe. And the call came in with 104.5 fever and not wanting to walk. And it had developed a seroma. And anyway, I came right on over. They asked me to come. And that's what I did. I bled her. The joint fluid shot out about 2 or 3 feet in the air. Lo and behold, the next day, the horse was walking around 80% improved just from that treatment.
Wow. It's incredible. Just incredible source of medicine.
For all of our listeners, what hemoacupuncture is we actually veterinarians will take a regular injection needle, a short one, but it's a regular injection needle, and we purposefully put it in certain points to get blood, which, as Dr. Langlois just talked about, like releases pressure. It releases a lot of heat and it releases a lot of pressure. And it's one of the, so if your veterinarian comes out and does acupuncture in your horse, there is purpose in that. Don't be worried if there's a lot of blood. I've had some points over my acupuncture time just spontaneously bleed, which is actually really great in acupuncture. We've probably talked about that on this podcast before, but understandably, there are some owners that get a little concerned about that. So I wanted to point out that that's what we're talking about when we're talking about hemoacupuncture. It's very intentional.
We see that a lot too down here. You know, we have so much heat problems. So when we put even a dry needle in, and, you know, maybe we have 10, 15, 20 needles in, we pull those needles out, the majority of those needles bleed. Why? Because it needs to. There's too much heat in the body. So it's witchcrafty.
It is. And it's a great part of acupuncture. Very therapeutic part of acupuncture.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Caitlin.
No, it's great. Yeah. I bled all the Jingwell points of those both front. And it was just, it was one of those moments that you see it and you just don't believe that putting a couple needles in can make that big of a difference. So that really kind of sold me on this modality. That's probably my most dramatic one besides another back one that I had. So I was really happy with that one. And I still text Allison that, you know, this stuff is witchcraft when I have cases like that. It's so cool.
Did you use an herbal at all during your treatment?
Yep. I put her on Hot Hoof too. And I think that helped her a lot. She was on that for about a month. And then I think we switched her to Hot Hoof 1. Mm-hmm. And she's been off of that for probably a month or so now and is doing quite well. She's on full turnout again and back to her old way. She's got therapeutic shoeing and stuff like that. And I go out and see her about every 2 months and kind of do acupuncture as she kind of tells me she needs. And we're just keeping up with her that way.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's her. That's my laminitis case.
Awesome. So you have a back case too. Bring that up.
I do. So his name is Sunshine. Sunshine is a very grumpy, warm blood, but upper level eventer who I do some work for this client, but she had been having some trouble with back pain with him and he didn't want to jump and would get extremely sore after riding and jumping. He had had back rads, he had had back injections, he had shockwave, he had miso, he had all of the conventional things to treat his back and was refractory to all of them. And she was seriously considering retiring him. So she had me come out and at that point she had me out to try mesotherapy again. And I was talking to her and she had said that it really didn't help that much, but she didn't know what else to do. So I asked her if she would be open to acupuncture. Sunshine does not like needles. So Sunshine was sedated.
Ho, ho. ho.
Yeah. So Sunshine was sedated for me to do this. And the really interesting part about him was he was sedated enough to know what I was doing, but not kick me, but wasn't super, super sleepy. So I put a needle through his back, over his sacrum, and through some bladder points over his gluteal area, and did electroacupuncture on him. And while I was doing the actual electroacupuncture, he like fell asleep and was very, very sleepy. And when I stopped and pulled the needles, it was like a switch flipped and he was like, oh, I'm awake. So that was really interesting to me how much that relaxed them. And he, 2 days later, she had texted me and was like, he's jumping like he hasn't in months. He's comfortable. He's happy. He's doing really, really well. I have my horse back. So that's been awesome. I've worked on him 3 times. We put him on Body Sore. And yeah, and considered putting him on Liver Happy, but he didn't want to eat that. So I was like, okay, we'll try Body Sore. And that's helped a lot. And we are currently weaning him off of that. And I'm hoping to go out there in another couple of weeks to repeat the electro if we need to. But it's the only thing that's worked for him. And it's been amazing. I've done 2 sessions on him and he's on the Body Sore. And she says she has no issues with him jumping, no back pain, nothing. No problems whatsoever. He's back to her old horse, which is what we wanted. And it just, like you had said, goes to show that, you know, we have all the fancy things and the fancy tools and the shockwave and the x-rays and all this stuff. And sometimes it's just not what they need. It's just not enough. And it's,
yeah. And you know, back problems is like, I think the number one concern or problem with performance animals. So it's so mm-hmm. common. And we actually did a podcast this time, December last year, with Dr. Marilyn Mailer, and she dealt with some of the kissing spine issues, but back pain in general. And, you know, we talked about the next possible option would be surgery. And she says, no, I don't even consider it because I can take these horses with a proper spinal adjustment and a proper acupuncture technique, and I can help them so much. So another thing that we can complement all of there that's in Western medicine with this approach. Yep.
Absolutely. And it's a lot less invasive. I mean, obviously I had to sedate him to do it, so nobody got hurt, but it's
yeah. And, you know, Dr. Shea says you lose a little bit. You lose maybe 40% of your effectiveness if you sedate them. And I don't know how that's quantified, but I'll take 60% any day than no treatment at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I wouldn't have gotten 1 needle in him, no doubt, especially toward a back leg.
Yeah.
Cause you know, if I was going to go for something, I was going to go at that point and where I am in my, you know, acupuncture career right now, I was like, I'm going to go for by way. If I can get nothing else, I want to try to get that one in. And I'd have got nailed. He just wasn't going to have it. So I was like, you know what, we'll take what we can get with sedation on board. And he responded really, really well.
Well, and I'm going to say that I think I've heard Dr. Shea say 20% less effective, and I choose that number.
Yeah, I'm happy with that one too.
Yeah, because I wasn't sure, and you know, I'm still on my herbal kind of learning journey, but I wasn't sure that herbs like Liver Happy or Body Sore were going to be quite enough. I really felt that he was going to benefit most if I could get that electro and just kind of clear everything, calm everything down, try to reset him, and then come in with something else. But that would have been plan B if he still didn't want to participate in the activity.
Yeah. And one of the most important things, again, about our medicine is actually trying to figure out what that pattern is, even in the case of a back sore horse, what's going on, and trying to, you know, determine, you know, what channels are involved with that and go about our way to get, because it's not, you know, all back cases are treated the same. They're all different because they have some local stagnation, some, you know, like I say, may have kissing spines, or there may be saddle issues, or there's so many other possibilities that can cause a horse to be back sore, from distal limb issues all the way through. So we treat each one as an individual.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can tell so much from the chiropractic too, as to where they're using themselves. So our chiropractic, the spinal manipulation, all of that can be put together and treat each horse as an individual, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's even 2 huge successes like that is a lot for 1 year out of practice, but I know you have more for us.
I can share one other one. or if you have time. I guess this is my life-saving one, I guess. She was a four-year-old standard bred who I was working on an impaction colic for 3 or 4 days. And I really wasn't having much success, and sending her for a referral was not going to be an option. It was kind of one of those situations that it was, I got her through it or we were going to have to let her go. And when I got called out in the middle of the night that she was uncomfortable again, still not feeling well, they thought they were going to have to euthanize her at that point. We got talking and I was like, you know, there's one other thing I can try. I had actually just watched a lecture from Dr. Shea for an impaction that he had done at the University of Florida. And I was like, well, we've got nothing to lose. Can you just give me, you know, she's not horrible right now and that we have to make a decision. We're just not making any progress. So if you can bear with me another day and let me see if this happens to work in my hands as well. And I did some electroacupuncture on her. I had her on it. I think it was 30 or 45 minutes. It was quite a bit of time. And I didn't have to sedate her for that. So that was really nice. But she got really relaxed while we were doing the electro and very comfortable. And then I didn't hear anything for the next couple hours overnight. They said she hadn't been painful, anything like that. And about 5-6 hours later, she started to pass some manure. So that was amazing. And, you know, hopefully that's from my treatment. Maybe that was going to happen anyway. I'm not sure, but I would like to believe that, you know, the acupuncture really did help get things moving and get her GI started again. And I really didn't want to put down a three-year-old for something that I felt like I could fix. And she is still here and she is racing and doing very well. And we've had, knock on wood, no impaction issues or colic issues since. So it really is a modality that you can just kind of use for just about anything. And I feel like it's almost freeing in a way that you don't have anything to lose. It's
for sure.
She's going to, you know, in that case, she was going to be euthanized. So, okay, let me try, because we're going to wind up back here anyway, if it doesn't work. And for her, it did. And that was really, really cool. And that is something I think I will pull out a little bit faster if I have some that really don't want to quite read the book with our traditional treatments. So yeah, that one, I'm like, I'm hoping it was what I did and not just that it was going to happen anyway. But like I said, it had been 3 or 4 days that she really wasn't making any progress for me. And that seemed to help her turn the corner.
Well, we appreciate that the acupuncture is going to stimulate intestinal motility. There's no way around it. It does. And I also want to share that the herbal medicines for the GI issues, and it's interesting, sometimes we treat both an impaction and a diarrhea almost the same, because what we're trying to do is just get, you know, the GI tract working. And there was a study that was done in China on 67 horses. And this was a peer-reviewable study, meaning it was done very well. And they actually took an herb and stomach tubed a dose of the herb formula. And 94% of the horses, 67, all responded with manure after one treatment. The other 4% required two treatments. So I am like a big, big believer in the idea that the herbs can, once you get your acupuncture started, can take you the rest of the way, particularly for one that's maybe a chronic colicker. I have one that's, she won't let me take it off. He's been on the herb for a year now. And she says, nope. I said, well, how about half a dose? She goes, okay, but we're not coming off.
Mm-hmm. It's just incredible, incredible medicine. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about the herbs and adding more of that into my practice. I've got a few that I feel pretty comfortable and safe about, but that's definitely an area and food therapy and stuff that I think really just, it all works together. It's amazing.
Yep.
I felt like I was kind of scared to death of herbs coming out of veterinary school because, mm-hmm. you know, that was 30 years ago, I hate to say. And, you know, there was much, much less research about them. But there's, you know, because there wasn't as much research and they weren't as well regulated, you know, I think that Western medicine gets really scared to use them. And I've as I started to listen to Dr. Shea and, you know, listen to his herbs, I'm like, you know, maybe I'll try this body sore thing, you know, yeah. or the there's a calming herb called Shen Calmer that we use. And I've learned over the years that, man, if I can hit the nail on the head with a good Chinese diagnosis with tongue and pulse and looking at the animal, then it's like a daily dose of acupuncture, which is amazing, you know, from an energetic perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's incredible.
Caitlin, I also, while we're on a roll, heard in the communication that maybe you had a COPD case that you did very well with. Is that?
Yeah, I don't know if I talked to you before. I have, if this wasn't the one I was thinking about, this is the one I'd love to talk about, because this one was really cool. And I don't know, maybe you guys can kind of put me back in my place and bring me back down and say, no, it doesn't work that way. But it's this little mini, and he is owned by a gentleman named Tommy, and he got him from a therapeutic riding place. So it's his little mini. He's wheelchair bound and he takes care of Laddie, and they kind of do everything together, and it's adorable. And
that's so cool.
Laddie, this fall, when they started pulling up all the crops and all that kind of stuff, had a really, really bad COPD episode. And I just have not been able to get him really back under control. We've done steroids. We've done clenbuterol. We've done albuterol. We've done inhalers. We've done all of the things. And I still can't get his respiratory rate back down to normal. So him and his mom let me do some acupuncture on him. We were out to do a dental, and when he woke up, we did some acupuncture on him. And we got some needles in him. And when I got to do some of the back shoe points, and like, I can't remember the name of the one outside of like GV14 that helps with cough and stuff like that. I was doing that one.
13.
Yes, that one. And I swear to you, I put that needle in and he goes,
wow.
And then like, he kind of slowed down a little bit. And I was like, I didn't say anything, because I was like, I'm just making this up. This isn't real. And the owner was like,
it's witchcraft.
She's like, is he breathing slower? And I was like, I don't know. Is he? I didn't want to just, you feel like you're crazy. You really feel like you're crazy.
And you feel like you're pumping your own medicine. You feel like you're the only one that can see it.
Right. So I was like, I don't want to say anything, because maybe he just took a deep breath and whatever. And I'm just trying to make it seem that way. But luckily my tech was like, nope, it's actually slower. I counted. Like it's actually slower. And I'm like, that is so cool. And then a couple of days later, I had heard from her, and she's like, you know, he's not completely normal. It's certainly higher than like how he had been 6 months ago, but not at all like it was before we had tried the acupuncture. So I have him on free VZB right now, and planning on seeing him again in about another week or two to work on him again and potentially add some. I might try some electroacupuncture on him to see if we can kind of get a bit of a better response as well, or a deeper response, and see if there's maybe a different herb we need to try or something like that. But he's doing pretty well what we're doing right now. But that one was pretty cool.
That's an excellent herbal. I love that one, you know, for when the energy of the kidney and the energy of the lung is not right. And, you know, I have seen, just to share, in some cases, and maybe Allison can comment as well, that when I begin my acupuncture for these chronic COPD horses, they actually start coughing really, really hard. Like they do the opposite of what you saw. They like cough, cough, cough. And the owner's sitting there going, are you making it worse? I said, no. We're just putting kind of a little bit of energy into the system, and if the system is a little bit off. So, but then the next day and then the days afterwards, then they start to respond real well.
Okay. That's good to know. And that was a really cool one. And he's still doing well.
My feeling and what I tell my patients is that 30% of my patients get worse before they get better. Mm-hmm. And much like what John's talking about. And I think that those tend to be the older horses, and those tend to be the, like the more affected, like they've got more going on than meets the eye. Like their body is really compensating a lot. This is a dog, but I remember I did like 20% dogs for the first 9 years of my practice. And I just do horses now, but I remember a Great Dane coming to me that was a year and a half. And I did my exam and I did my spinal adjustment. And I was like, this is, you know, definitely a wobbler. Let's hook up some electro. The dog fell asleep, and they said that they had to wake it up, to my recollection, infection, like for days to take it out to poop. And you would think that both a spinal adjustment and electroacupuncture might be a lot for an older dog, but not a year and a half old dog. And that just told me that the neck problems were probably a lot worse than what I thought. Like, I use that as a response to how much is really laying under the surface of an animal's ability to compensate.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you find that way too, John, or not, but
yeah, very much so. And yeah, I'm just thrilled. One of the most beautiful parts about our work is to get a text the next day or a phone call the next day and hear them testimonials to say, he is so much better today and thank you. And that just elevates me to a wonderful place that we actually help them. And I get it all the time, and it's what keeps me going.
Yeah, absolutely. I always screenshot or save those.
I do too.
It means a lot. It means a lot. Cause like sometimes you'll go back and they're like, oh yeah, he did great. But you're wondering kind of, you know, did it actually work? Did it not work? Cause it just seems with me doing it for such a short time, some of these cases feel like a bit of a flash in the pan. Like, did I actually help, or did I just get lucky? Or, yeah, right. You know, so it's nice to kind of go back and remember, you know, no, you are helping these guys, and it does make a difference in their quality of life and their comfort. And as you'd said as well, some of them, I feel like, especially pain and sports medicine and stuff like that, I feel like you can definitely make them worse or kind of take away some compensation. Like I say, we kick out their crutches a little bit and we're like, okay, we didn't know that was the problem, but now we've kind of taken a little bit away and we can kind of get to the root of it.
Right.
And
right.
Absolutely.
I try to warn people about that because, you know, you kind of feel like you've made them worse or it's your fault or something like that. And I try to warn people that this might kind of take away some compensation and really kind of show us how bad this is or what's going on. And we just need to be prepared for that. And it's definitely happened to me a couple times. So it's cool that it can kind of unlock that next layer and get you to the root of the problem sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and what I'm so grateful for is the clients that seem to almost innately understand that. And maybe that's the person that seeks out acupuncture in the first place. You know what I mean? But I've had clients do exactly that. Caitlin, is like, I've just acupunctured their warm blood, and they call me text me a couple of days later and say, she's like loosey goosey and like not so stable. And is this a problem? Or is this just part of the healing process? And so I'm very grateful for, you know, our clients that are in the yoke with us as far as making their horse the best that we can. And it's kind of fun that as old as I am and John's much younger than I am, but
you're right.
As many years, I didn't want to include you, but as many years as we've done this, I feel like I've seen a shift in what we want for our horses. Like, I definitely think that maybe we're having more problems, you know, musculoskeletal problems than we used to. But I think that people are more willing to try a bunch of other stuff to see what works for that horse. And I'll get on my soapbox for another 5 minutes and just say, I think nothing helps every animal all the time. Not a Western medicine drug, not chiropractic and acupuncture. Nothing helps every single time, but I think it helps 80% of the time. And so, to your point, we lose nothing by trying, you know, just to peel the most outer layer and see if we can't see something else to fix.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that the key, and I learned this from some of my teachers, that it's not about 100% with one treatment. It's about making some progress. So if you get a little bit improvement, you get 20% improvement, yes. Next time we'll get another 20%, and we keep going. And the clients is very, very happy with the idea that it's improving.
Yeah, absolutely.
As practitioners that I find, and I don't know how much of this, Caitlin, you do. I know Allison does, and having been a teacher of food therapy at the Qi, that's becoming a really, really important part of the whole process. You know, these horses that do have COPD, you know, there's food for them that could be helpful that supports the lung, whether they're hot or cold, depending. They have excess or deficiency. We can choose food that also continues to complement our work.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's on my list of things to learn more about.
So you're coming back to school. Yay.
Absolutely. I have like a whole list next to my computer of all the things that, you know, all the chi stuff that I want to come and learn. And it's just, it all works together. And it's, you know, you get help from the acupuncture and you change the food. And it's just incredible to me how healing food can be. And I don't think as a society, we're really taught that or shown how healing food can be and how much food can be literal medicine. And I think that applies to our animals and stuff as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, we didn't even talk about the idea that there's another pillar of Chinese medicine, and that's Tui Na. And we teach that course. And I find that to be magical, to be able to, especially for those animals that don't really want a needle, and maybe you don't want to sedate them, or maybe it's not a good time to sedate them because of their performance schedule. But Tui Na is magical at moving. And for the listeners, Tui Na is an ancient form of Chinese body work that uses the principles of TCVM, finding the right pattern for them, and then using it through these body manipulations and using our hands in a way to move energy and blood in the body to get more balance. So another great modality for you to learn.
Yep, absolutely. It's on the list.
Okay, great.
Well, and Caitlin's shadowed me enough to know that I use that quite a bit with my spinal manipulation. And I think, I don't know, we've shared some techniques between the two of us that I think it all kind of goes together, which is super awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Caitlin owns her own practice. And tell me again, do you have an associate with you or no?
I do. Yep. She graduated last year and started with us in March this year. So she is doing mostly general practice right now. She also has done the Qi acupuncture course. So she's practicing that a bit as well, which is great. She's still working on her certification, but adding some of that to her practice as well. And it really, I kind of sprinkle it into my stuff I see every day. Like if I see a corneal ulcer, if I've got a, you know, if they're tolerant, I'll put a few needles around their eye. And I really think it's just kind of, you just sprinkle it in where you can, even if it's not, that's the sole purpose you're there. I think it's really helpful. It's just another added, you know, modality to improve them.
Yes.
I totally agree. I don't do, you know, eye stuff anymore. Like I'm not called to do that, but if I come out to a barn and a horse has got an eye issue, then it, you know, I can think about a couple of racehorses that I was asked to do an adjustment and acupuncture on, and they're standing there with a palpebral lavage, and I think the needles helps quite a bit.
Yeah. I think especially for like uveitis and things like that.
Yeah,
I think it really, because it's just the things that we have to do, especially some of the older ones that you don't really want to use steroids and stuff on. I think it can be really helpful for that.
I listened to a cool medical doctor say that he had gone from looking at cancer under a microscope and walked right into an exam room to look at a diabetic ulcer in his human practice. And he said, it just dawned on me that it's all inflammation. Everything we're talking about is inflammation. And I think acupuncture is really, really strong at, you know, soothing inflammation. Our body sort of puts its brakes on energetically when we have inflammation, and acupuncture is so good at getting that moving again.
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
So have you found any pushback with your clientele as far as, you know, not wanting it or, you know, introducing that to your practice? Did you find any challenges with that or did they all embrace it?
For the most part, everybody was really respectful of it. Some people were like, oh, that's not really my thing. I'm like, okay, no problem. And there were a few cases when I was learning that I was like, look, I'm not going to charge you for it. Can I just try? Can I, you know, put some needles in and see if it helps? And some of those people are now my most loyal acupuncture and medical manipulation clients. And it's, they, people definitely talk and
don't hear, they?
And you know, some is good and some is bad. And I've got a real knack for bringing like abscesses, like foot abscesses to the surface. That seems to really be,
that's awesome. Tell me how you're doing that.
It's happened 4 or 5 times and I did it with my mare too. That I'm like, I'm pretty sure they've got an abscess. They're really like crippled lame, like 4 out of 5, can't walk, pretty sure their leg is broken. And I'll put the Jingwell points and 4 or 5 of them, they've popped the abscess the next day, where they were probably going to do it soon anyway. But that's kind of come really fast. And I have one client, I've done it to one of her horses, and she's like, can you just come and do the needles to make it pop? And I'm like, I don't know that that's exactly how it works. I think we just got lucky. But no, I think I really haven't had much pushback. Luckily, the horses that I've worked on that have gotten quote unquote worse after acupuncture, or we're bringing more stuff to the surface. Mm-hmm. Of course, when you get that text message, your stomach kind of sinks because you automatically are like, oh my God, I've hurt this horse. And you're scared that you've hurt them. You're scared that the client's going to get mad or that something horrible is going to happen to you career-wise. But luckily, they've all been super supportive. And I try to, you know, warn them, especially if we're working on a lameness thing, that I might kind of get rid of some, like I said before, some compensation. And then we really see what the problem is. And that's happened to me a couple of times. And luckily, the clients have been super supportive. And they're like, well, you were right. And we were able to chase it down a little bit more like streamlined. We were actually able to be like, okay, well, this leg is the problem, when it was like, oh, you just kind of look weird all over and I can't really pick. And we were able to kind of narrow down what we were looking at. So luckily, my clientele has been really, really open to it. I've got a few barns that, you know, I go there once or twice a month because they've got so many horses. So that's kind of opened up another avenue for me to kind of get in there and get my hands on those horses and stuff as well. And I work on some therapeutic horses, and that's really, really rewarding. We had one that we were able to, just through acupuncture, get her back into the therapeutic riding program after not being used for a couple of months because she was just uncomfortable and grumpy and just did not want to participate. And she was one of these mares that when they asked me to do it, I was like, sure, I'll try. Like, I didn't think I was going to get any needles in her. Her name's Ellie. And I was like, I don't think she's going to tolerate any of this. And she stood like a champ. I think I got 15 or 16 needles in her the first time. And she just stood there on the cross ties, fell asleep, absolutely loves her acupuncture sessions. So that's something that I've learned as well. You know, you just kind of have to go slow and a chance and go for it and try something safe first and see. And usually they're not going to completely lose their mind, at least in my hands so far, with the first needle, unless you just know they don't like needles. So a couple of them have really surprised me with how tolerant they've been. And those kind of cases have really got some buy-in from those clients and the people that are kind of in their circle. So that's really nice. And I appreciate what I've learned there, in that this isn't just cookbook. It's very, very tailored to the individual animal. And I think that makes all the difference.
You can move even further. You know, Dr. Pasteur, who is my teacher, she in her practice would encourage and had them set up where she does once a month, she goes through problem or no problem.
Yep.
What she's doing is in prevention and setting up, as opposed to putting out the fires all the time, that if we can keep them in balance here and there and easy, they're going to stay in good shape so much better. And if you can get the clients to be able to say, listen, I'm good with that. I'd rather not have any problems. So you go ahead and take a look, do your treatment once a month, once every other month. That's a great way to go.
Yeah. They're almost like setting up like bowling bumpers. You know, you're just kind of like, keep them in the middle, keep them comfortable. You know, they kind of get off course. You just push them back to balance. And that's kind of how I try to think about that. And I think that's a fantastic way to go. And something I would hope to kind of incorporate and get buy-in into in the future for sure. And she's incredible. She taught me the VMM course when I did that. And she's awesome.
Well, Dr. Harris, it has been a pleasure as always. I always find your humor refreshing, and I think it's really fun to have more and more young veterinarians that are finding this medicine to be really helpful. And it almost doesn't matter what we do with it, right? We just have to try different cases. And I just think it's obvious that we don't know what is going to help that animal until we try it. So it gives us a lot more tools in the box. But as you said, non-invasive, do no harm. You know, I'm also amazed, actually, at the last thing you said was that I still, after doing nothing but this for 20 years, I'm still not sure I can predict how an animal is going to respond to needles. I think that involves personality And I think that involves, you know, pain tolerance or a reaction to pain. But some of the bossiest, grouchiest horses really, really love their needles.
Yep, absolutely.
So, Caitlin, I just wanted to also thank you for taking the time in it. And, you know, I'll use this. I have like two acupuncture classes in December. I'll use this with the students and encourage them that you have 1 year away from your training and you're seeing these fantastic results to encourage them that, you know, maybe you don't want to go out and pick a very, very difficult case like an autoimmune disease, your first one, but you're going to find that you're going to do very well very quickly. And that's what they want to hear.
Absolutely. And it's very scary and very intimidating. And the pattern diagnosis and stuff is still stuff I kind of struggle with. And you get scared.
You're not struggling, sister.
You get caught
you're doing fine.
And you second guess yourself. And I think, you know, Dr. Shea had said it in one of our courses, just put a needle in.
Yeah.
Just try something. If nothing else, for something for pain relief. If it's a foot, put your Jingwell points in. Just try something, because you kind of get paralyzed in, well, I don't think I have it exactly right. Well, there's a good chance you don't, but that's okay. And then you just get more confidence in putting needles in and knowing that you can make some difference, and then it gets a lot less scary. And I think that's really helpful. And yeah, just incorporate it as often as you can in your daily practice. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. I really do try to incorporate it every day into cases where I can.
Absolutely.
I like your phrase of sprinkling it in, because I think that's really the fun of it, right? You just, it just adds that much more. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate all that you guys have taught me, and look forward to learning more at Qi as I kind of move through more of these courses.
So that was a complete pleasure.
Very much so. I just thoroughly enjoyed that.
Dr. Harris is, I love folks with a gameness about them and a good sense of humor. We should all strive to be that way, shouldn't we?
Yeah. And a positive attitude, a positive approach to it. That, yeah. Maybe in the back of the mind, maybe it's not going to work, maybe this and that, but you're still going out there and doing it. And then you see what you get.
Yep. And you, to your point, you lose nothing by giving it a shot, right? I mean, you really, as I joke with my clients, you can't do harm with an acupuncture needle unless you put it in a joint or an eyeball.
Right. So, you put it in the wrong place. Yeah.
Yep. If you put it in the wrong place. So my quote for the closing on this Christmas Eve is as follows, and I usually have the author of the quote, and I don't have this one, but it's a great quote. An arrow can only be shot by pulling it backwards. When life is dragging you backwards with difficulties, it means it is going to launch you into something great. So just focus and keep aiming.